everyone say, amen and amen.
The title for the sermon this morning, what is in your hand? Don't worry, it's not a sermon about tithe or offering. So you can be calm now. I am not going to ask you for money or a check, so you can calm down now. You can breathe. I do want to ask something from you, though, that you will give me your divine attention. Amen? Can you do that? And second of all, that you will pray for me. Why? Because this morning's message is going to rough you up. Rough out your feathers. I'm going to step in somebody's toes. You still love me? A little bit, at least. I love you. Do you love me? All right, I want to hear that because so that I can go on with the message. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to love one another, but I don't do it just because the Bible tells me to love you. It gives me the command to love you, but I do it because I love you. Amen? I love you because you are my family, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And so let's start. And I want to start by just making you think about the times that we are living in. We are living in very important times, amen? Very precious times. A lot of prophets, including Daniel himself, and Isaiah, and Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they wanted to live in our times, but God did not choose them. God chose us, amen? He chose us for a specific thing, and we found that in Revelation chapter 14, which is called the Three Angels Message. It is the final message that God has bestowed upon the church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, to give to the whole world. And the Bible tells us that this gospel of the kingdom, the everlasting gospel, will be preached on all the world, and then the end shall what? But there is something very specific there in Matthew that tells us that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a what? Witness. And then the end will come. We need to pay attention of how the things of this world are consuming our lives. Let me repeat that again. There are many things in our lives that seem to take our focus away from what is important. Now, I am not saying that the things that you are doing in your life, in your own personal life, are not important. Do not get me wrong, because there are different things in your own personal life, like family, that is very important. Your job, that is important. But what I'm saying is that there is different things in our lives. A lot of activities in our lives that seem to take the focus in our lives, and that blinds us from what's important. It blinds us from the reality that we are living in, which is the soon coming of Jesus. And I believe that with all my heart. I personally believe that we as individuals, not as a church, but as individuals, we need to take this calling seriously, and we need to look at our lives and the things that are consuming our lives, and we need to see whether we are looking to the world through the eyes of Jesus or through gold-rimmed glasses. How are we seeing the world that we are living in? What is consuming our time that we are so busy that we cannot carry out the commission that Jesus has given unto us? We need to take this seriously. The church needs to take this seriously, but more importantly, I need to take this seriously. Amen. You need to look in your own life. You need to look at your activities. And you really need to begin seeing this world for what it is. Thank you so much, Brother Paul. That song, it's a message in itself. Are we living our life like strangers and pilgrims, or are we building wealth in this world? Where is our mind? The things of this life are covering us. They are consuming our time to the point where we have become blindness. How do I know this? Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy, and we are going to see something. A lot of us are very familiar. Many of us have heard lots of sermons in regards to this, but we are going to look at it once again this morning. 2 Timothy, and we're going to the third chapter. 2 Timothy, what chapter are we going to? All right. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, good. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading with verse 1. To what extent is the world blinded? To what extent has the world become where they have all these things in life have covered them? They've taken so much over their life that they've become blinded. Let's look at this, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, now we are living in the last days, my brothers and my sisters. They are not coming. We are in the last days. And many of you are saying, well, I've heard that for hundreds of years. I've heard that for many years. My grandfather believed that. He died believing that. But let me tell you, if you look around the world today, and if you're not a Christian, you know that something big is coming. And it is not just affecting the United States. It is worldwide. Amen? Amen? And we need to be excited. We need to awake out of our sleep. Because many of us are sleeping. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous times means just dangerous times. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves. Things that are keeping people so occupied, they have become what? Blind. Lovers of themselves, they are looking what? To themselves. They're looking at themselves. Wow, look at me. So pretty. Good looking. They're looking at themselves. Lovers of themselves. Lovers of what, everyone? Money. That means that their hearts, they have become so corrupted with money that the only love in their life is what? Money. Now, is there anything wrong with money? Absolutely not. Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be what? Also. Jesus was not wrong. See, in today's society, we're living in a society where parents spend the majority of their time where? At work. Is there anything wrong with work? No. But they have become so focused in that they have become what? Blinded to the important things in life. The important things of life. You know, this generation, this last generation from the 90s and onward, they have parents that have done that throughout their lives because of the economy. And so young people, you know, this generation is the generation that has spent more money than any other generation. Why? Because their parents have given them this. I was watching this documentary. Their parents are giving them this money, which is called guilty money. Okay, they feel guilty, and so the reason why they feel guilty is because they don't spend time with them. So what they do is they say, here's some money, go and buy whatever you want. The activities have become so, they all over their lives that they just become what? Blinded. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. No, I'm not very old. I'm 26 years old. I kept saying I'm 25, but I'm not. I just realized yesterday I was 26. So I kept saying I'm 25. And then somebody told me, oh, yeah, you're 26 because you're from 1982. I was like, yeah, that's true. I'm 26. But anyways, the point is this. I'm not very old. Many of you who are here present, you guys have been in this earth for a little bit longer. When I've seen a change in regards to the love for parents, the respect for parents. You see TV shows even called Nanny or whatever it's called, the Nanny, Super Nanny or something like that. Someone to help them to deal with the what? With the children. Why? Because kids have become what? Unthankful? Unholy? Disobedient? I've seen this working with young people the past 5 years in my life. Now, the principles that I was taught, which is not long ago, the principles my grandmother told me, I should respect my elders, I should be, you know, honor, respectful, I should not speak when I'm not asked, blah, 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 and so forth and so on, they're gone out the window. The Bible tells us that this is what's going to happen. Why? Because the life is so consumed with the things that are not important that we have become what? Blinded. We have become blinded. Verse 3, unloving. We see that, amen? Unforgiven. Slanders without what? Self-control. Do we see that today? Yeah, in different areas in life. Not just one. They have become so controlled by their environment that they have become blinded. And you're saying, Alex, just get to the point. Come on. This is the point. That we have done this. Now, I want to focus on verse 4, but specifically on verse 5. Verse 5 is the summary of all those things. Look at verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, hunty, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of what, everyone? Which means that they rather please themselves than go to church. They rather please themselves than pray. They rather please themselves than study the Bible. Which means that all these things have pressed their lives. They compile their lives. They're so busy that they can't keep the focus on the right thing. Now, was Paul speaking about the outside world? No, no, no. Look at verse 5. They have a form of what? But they deny the power. What does it mean? You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power. It's a question. You answer. Anybody? Actors. Oh, that's a good one. They're acting, isn't it? Just doing the motions like Pastor. You know, we were saying. You know, it comes a point in our Christian experience that sometimes if we are not very careful, we can forget our first love and we can just go through the motions of coming to church, paying tithe, getting up, singing, sitting down, and we are not experiencing God in our lives. We become even so busy with the things of the church that we can become what? Blind, having a form of godliness. Thank you, Danny. Actors. What else? Anybody else? Nobody? Huh? I heard something. Come on. Is it? Anybody? You have the truth? You believe? You have it, but you don't practice. You don't allow it to be part of your life, to impact your life, to change you, to transform you. Lukewarm. Thank you. You become lukewarm. So busy that we have lost sight of what's important. Thank you. But it says that they deny the what? The power. What is this power? What is this power? Go with me to the book of Acts. We're going to see this really quick. We've heard this. True power only comes from Jesus. How do I know this? Acts chapter 1. Now, this is speaking specifically what we just read in 2 Timothy is specifically talking about the condition of the church. How they are so consumed by all these things that they have become what? Blinded. They are lacking the power of Jesus. The power to do what, God? What is so important? The church was created for one purpose, my brothers and my sisters. It was one purpose that we are created for. The church was built because we are to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. The book Acts of the Apostles, the very first chapter, tells us that we are God's chosen agency for the salvation of humanity. Which means that God has chosen you and me to do this work. But we are so busy. We are lacking this power that God wants to bestow upon us. Look at with me, Acts chapter 1. And look at verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says what? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the ends of the earth. What Jesus is saying here is that power comes before a commission. God has given the great commission, but before that he says, I give you the power to do what? To accomplish that great commission. Amen? So many of us are thinking, how can I do this? How can I be a witness for other people? God is saying, don't worry about it. I'll give you the what? I'll give you the power. And many of us are thinking, the Holy Spirit will fall when the latter rain comes. And many of us have said, oh yeah, it was really wonderful in the day of Pentecost. But not a lot of us think about what? Right now. God wants to pour out His Spirit now. For what reason does He want to pour out His Spirit? For what reason? Come on, tell me. So that we could be His witnesses and this work could be finished and we could go home. For the Bible tells us in this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness and then the end will come. God is looking for witnesses. See, He has individuals here and there, but He's never had a group. He has had Elijah, and He had Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and all these awesome people, and the three Hebrew brothers, and Daniel, but He has never had His people. God is calling the Adventist church to raise up out of their sleep and to go forth in the three angels' message and with the power of the angel of Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, and to proclaim the three angels' message. But we are so consumed by the things of this world that we have become blinded. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? That's God. That's all God is asking for. And I'm gonna share with you a story from the Bible that it's gonna bring this point home. Let's go to the book of Exodus. What book are we going to? Okay, Exodus chapter 4, and we are familiar with the story. The story of who? Moses. Moses was called to deliver God's people out of Egypt. Now, Moses was educated. He was royalty. He went to the best schools. He was not a dummy. He went from a high position to what type of position? What type of position did... A what? Can you put yourself in the shoes of Moses? How did he feel? Here he is, he was a prince. All of a sudden, he's what? That's a big, what is that called? Not promotion, it's not demotion. It was not a promotion. But maybe in God's eyes, it was a promotion. Do you see that? In God's eyes, it was a what? And Moses' desire was not a promotion. He was like, what in the world? I'm just a little what? But through that, God was preparing him to bring Israel out of slavery. Which means that we, when we look at ourselves, we shouldn't say, oh, God cannot use me. No, I'm just a carpenter. Whereas, I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a task worker, God. 26. Nope. You can't use me. Just too young. I'm just an architect. I'm an engineer. I'm just a cowboy. I'm just a young person. Oh, I'm older. I can't do that. Moses continued to make excuses to God, didn't he? Oh, I can't speak, God. I'm not eloquent. And many of us, many times, we use the same excuse. Oh, God, once I can preach like Pastor Jones and I can know the Bible like Pastor Sam, then I'll do something for you. We're always thinking about when can we do something for Jesus? When? In the future. When I'm more ready, when I'm more prepared. When I don't have when my kids have grown up and they're out of the house and I make more money, then I'll do something for Jesus. God is saying, do something for me when? Now. Look with me in Exodus chapter 4. And we look here in verse 1 and 2. Then Moses answered, once again, another excuse here. Moses answered and said, but suppose that they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice. Suppose that they say the Lord has not appeared unto you. See, Moses knew what was going on. See, he was trying to explain to God. See, look, God. If I go back to Egypt, I am in the most wanted list. The CIA and the FBI in Egypt are looking for me. So if whenever I step my foot in Egypt, what's going to happen to me? Let's say I don't get captured. What about if your people don't believe in me? And all these excuses. Now look at how God answers to all the excuses that Moses was making to him. Look at it. Verse 2. So the Lord said unto him, Moses, what is in your hand? What is in your hand, Moses? Oh, I love this. See, we come with excuses, and God just says, what's in your hand? See, I am not asking you for something big. I am not asking you to be a magician or I don't want you to do anything. What is in your hand? Now, did Moses go to the school of magicians to learn how to part the Red Sea, turn the water into blood? For 40 years, he had the same what? He had never done any miracles with it. Same staff. What did Moses do with that staff? Huh? Threw it on the ground. What happened to it? That same staff. 40 years he had nothing. Never turned into a snake. All of a sudden, what? Did Moses brought a book? Did God give him a book? Here, this is how you do magic tricks. Who was behind Moses? Who was behind the staff? Was it some special staff that was cut from a magical tree? There was nothing special about Moses. There was nothing special about the staff. It was God who parted the Red Sea. It was God who got water out of the rock. It was God who turned the water into blood. It was God who did all the miracles. Not Moses, not the staff. But see, many times we think like that. We say, oh, I don't have a staff. God is just saying, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 tells us a very important principle. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with half of your heart. Don't do it if you can. Do it only if you have time. Do it sometimes. Whatever your hands finds to do, Do it with all of your might. For wherever you go, there is no work, no toil. You know, we use this primarily to explain the state of the dead, correct? But there's another application here. And the application is saying that whatever you do, you must do it when? When? Now. We need not to wait for the future. The past is already gone. We need to know that God wants to use us now. To do what? To do His ministry. To finish His work. I want to finish with a story here in the book of Mark. As we draw our sermon to a close. Mark, we know the story of Mary Magdalene and the alabaster oil, perfume. Mark chapter 14. Okay. Now Jesus is in this meeting. All of a sudden, Mary comes, drops herself at the feet of Jesus. She begins weeping, washes His feet, dries them with her hair, and then she breaks a very costly what? Perfume, and anoints the head of Jesus. What is the reaction of the people around her? What was the reaction? Were they like, oh, hallelujah. She's anointing Jesus, man. Why didn't we think of that? They were not thinking, oh, Simon was not saying, oh, man, I forgot to wash Jesus' feet. They were criticizing what she was doing. And one of them, the head who started all of this, if you read the book, Desire of Ages, it says that it was Judas Iscariot who said what? This perfume could have been sold and fed hundreds of people. It was wasted. No good. Now look at how Jesus answers. Look at what Jesus answers. Look at verse 6. Okay? Look at verse 6. Are you there? Chapter 14, verse 6. But Jesus said, let her what? Now, let me tell you something. Whenever you're going to do something for Jesus, there is always going to be someone right there who is going to tell you you're not doing the right thing. You are not doing God's work. When you're doing something for Jesus, when you're doing God's ministry, when you're ministering to the people, people are going to say, man, you're crazy. Why are you knocking on doors so late? How could you go to somebody's door and knock? That's just so rude. Jesus says, just let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, and whatever you wish, you may do good unto them, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could. Amen? See, it is not something huge. It is not something amazing. God just wants you to do whatever is in your hand to do and do it with all your might and do it now. Whatever you can do, just do it for the cause of the gospel. We have Julie, the co-porters here, people that are studying the Bible as we speak. People here within our community that are thirsting and hungering for the truth. What are we doing for the church? What are we doing to bring these thirsting souls the gospel? What are we doing? You need to ask yourself that question because I cannot do it for you. 2009 is a year of evangelism. Not 2010, not 2011, not 2008. Okay, now is a year of evangelism. And we as a church, we need to continue to point to that. Are we ministering to people? Are we ministering to the souls? Are we a light in the Fallbrook community? Or they just know us by the clock tower? Do they know that we are a loving, accepting, Christian church. When they hear about the Fallbrook Church, they say, wow, yeah, that's a church that very loving, very accepting. We need to do that, my brothers and my sisters. And not tomorrow, not 2011 or 12. We need to do it when? Now. I told you I was going to step on somebody's toes, and I make no apologies for it. I want to finish with a quote from the book Steps to Christ. And this is one of my favorite books personally. And the reason why is because it's very close to my heart. It's a book that changed my life. It's a book that my mom kept putting under my pillow every single time when I was in the world. And one time I hit rock bottom. I was about to go to jail, you know, if I didn't change my life. And it was just going downhill, okay? I was right at the bottom. And I came to my house one day when I was struggling with God. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, if you exist, please help me. Help me to do ministry. Help me to give my life fully to you. Well, this voice came to my head and said, get the book under your pillow. I got the, guess what? It was still there. Got it out. The book called Steps to Christ. In Spanish, Camino a Cristo. Began reading the whole book. And that night, I gave my life to Jesus. A week later, I was invited to Hawaii, where I started doing ministry. And now I'm here. Since then, my life has been changed. Why? Because I didn't decide to do something for Jesus later when I felt more holy. I got on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, use me now, right here, then. I want to serve you with all my life. Maybe God is not calling you to do ministry full time. I don't know. Maybe God is calling you to do something for him when? Right here and right now. And I want to read two quotes here as we finish. The Work and the Life, chapter 9, if you want to read it on your own time. God is the source of life, amen? And light. And joy to the whole universe. Amen. God wants to give us joy. He is the source of all joy. So if you see a sad person, bring them the joy of Jesus. Like the rays of the light from the sun, like the streams of the water bursting from the living springs, blessings flow from out of him to all his creatures. Now I want you to listen to this last part. And whenever the life of God is in the hearts, and where? In the hearts of all men, it will flow out to others. See, God is the giver of life, he is the giver of joy, and he's the giver of light. But he wants to bestow that upon us so that we in return can bestow that upon others. That is the mystery of godliness, my brothers and my sisters. God wants to do a work in us so that we will become like Jesus. Amen. I want you to listen to this last part. The Savior's life on earth was not a life of ease and devotion to himself. It was not an easy life. It was not an ease life of devotion to himself. But he toiled with the precedent, earnest, uttering efforts of salvation of all lost mankind. And then it says, this was one of the great objects of his life. I want you to listen to this as I finish. So those who are partakers of his grace, of the grace of Christ, will be ready to make any sacrifice so that others for whom he died may share those heavenly gifts. My brothers and my sisters, maybe you don't have the desire, but you need to be honest with God. I need to be honest with God. Sometimes I don't feel. But I say, Lord, help me to feel it. Help me to feel it. Thank you so much. How many of you want to say with me this afternoon and say, Lord, I want to do whatever's in my hand to do. How many want to say that? To do something for your ministry. Why don't you stand with me? Why don't you stand with me? Make that decision. You're not making that to me. You're making this conscious decision. You're not standing because everybody else is standing. You're making this decision. You're saying, Lord, help me to do something for your ministry. Wherever and whatever I can do, whatever I can do, and whatever aspect, help me to do something for my family, for my friends, for my coworkers, for whoever I meet. Help me to be this light. Help me to be the source of joy, this giving joy. Let's be happy, lovable Christians. Amen? Amen. Let's not be sad Christians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is such a high calling. And so, Father, we pause, first of all, to recognize our need of you. We pause to recognize that we need you now more than ever. What is in our hands, Lord? Show us. Show us what is in our hands. And whenever we recognize what is in our hands to do, Father, help us to be faithful and do it with all of our might. Father, you've told us that human effort combined with divine power equals success. And so, Father, we want to be a successful church in the Fallbrook community. As we are doing this evangelistic outreach, Lord, help us to recognize how we can help in this evangelistic series. Help and give Pastor Jones your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Help Pastor Sam also, Lord. Bless them as they join forces together and they lead us in that direction. Help us as a church, Lord, to recognize the need that we have as a church and to move forth in faith, knowing that you will equip those who you have called. We thank you for showing us that it doesn't matter how many excuses we come with, that you have an answer for every single one of them. Lord, help us to recognize how much we need you and help us to stay focused in heavenly things is our prayer. In Jesus' name, let everyone say amen. Amen. And amen.